Don't spend another winter with your home colder than it should be. Hi, I'm Roy Spencer with PermaSeal. We measure the amount of heat loss and recommend solutions to keep it comfortable. Call PermaSeal for your free estimate, 800-421-SEAL, or visit permaseal.net.
And welcome back to Dean Richards' Sunday Morning Show. Elton Jim Toronto filling in for Dean as he is gallivanting once again, and I am very jealous and very upset at him for not making me his plus one as he is across the pond in London, England, where he has just seen the new upcoming Elton John biography film, Rocket Man. He has, from what I understand, if he told us at the top of the show, he has just interviewed the entire cast, and tomorrow will be the red carpet opening of the film, and Dean will hopefully get a chance to get a couple of seconds or a couple of minutes with Elton on the red carpet. How exciting. And I asked him, please, while he is interviewing Elton, to pass along Elton Jim's congratulations to Elton John. So let's see if he does that, and let's see how awkward it'll be. And speaking of awkward, how can you do anything less and be awkward than the Pop Culture Club feature, which we have here on my show on a regular basis, and part of that is the gold ticket member of that, Mick Kaler. Welcome aboard there, Mixter.
I'm Mr. Awkward. You know me.
I know.
Actually, keep in mind, Dean Richards is a member of the Pop Culture Club, too. Remember when he called in and wanted to join in?
Yeah, that's right. It's a select few.
Right.
We certainly present it for the masses, but there are a select few. You just can't, you know, it's not a club if you let everyone in.
No. Yeah, it's very exclusive. It's kind of like the College of Cardinals, you know?
Right, exactly. Well, I wanted to have Mick on, and in fact, you may, on a regular basis, you may hear some of Mick's work, because if you watch the WGN Morning News, of which, of course, one of the 78, Dean Richards is the local version of Steve Harvey.
Yeah, he's everywhere.
He's got 18 jobs. And
Ryan Seacrest, yeah.
Yeah, and one of Dean's main jobs, obviously, is being a part of the WGN Morning News on Channel 9, and Mick's work is frequently featured throughout the morning show, because you write some parody songs based on news events, and they play them on a regular basis there.
Yeah, in fact, about a week and a half ago, they ran a new one that Al Flash and I did. We took I'm Not Your Stepping Stone and changed it to I Don't Watch Game of Thrones.
Ah, so that's very timely, because I was just talking about Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Now, do you watch...
By the way, I have the ultimate spoiler tonight. Are you ready?
What's that?
Here's what happens on Game of Thrones.
What?
The whole cast, except for news anchor Ted Baxter, gets fired.
No, you know what's going to happen? Jon Snow is going to turn around in bed, and his wife is going to be there, and it's going to be Suzanne Pleshette.
There you go. Perfect ending.
Yeah. Well, we were talking, I mean, that tonight is the final episode of Game of Thrones, and in fact, I have to say that Mick, actually, during the last couple of weeks, because he knows that I'm a fan of the show, called me to get some information to put some of those parody lyrics together.
Yeah, because I really don't. I mean, I know it's a big deal, and I get HBO, but I got to be honest, the closest I come to Game of Thrones is I one time went to Medieval Times, okay, for dinner. So,
would you eat like another glass of mead?
That's right, a big turkey leg,
yeah,
the whole deal.
Yeah. So, but I did give you the terms of Winterfell and Westeros.
Right.
And so those were incorporated, so I felt like if that song does become a hit, I do deserve a writer's credit.
That or a little bit of royalty as soon as we get some.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, I wanted to talk to Mick in the Pop Culture Club. As I said, we tried to talk about some pop culture topics. And, you know, a lot of times it's about movies or music or television and things like that. But as much a part of the pop culture today, and will certainly, I think, become more prominent in the months and years and decades to follow, is the legalization and the growing legalization right now of marijuana, cannabis, pot, Mary
right.
Jane, weed. And it's amazing how fast this locomotive has run down the track. I mean, some people might say, what's taken so long? I mean, there are people in the 60s that thought pot would be certainly legalized by the 70s or the 80s. And here we are in almost 2020, and it's finally happening. But I'm amazed at how quickly the entire marijuana culture, which has been always bubbling under the line of the mainstream of society, even though because it's not legal. But as soon as the dam broke, oh my gosh.
Yeah, as soon as Colorado legalized it for recreational smoking, and then Oregon and Washington jumped in, it was like you said, it was like the gate busted open and everybody started trampling through.
Well, yeah, it's like a reefer revolution. I mean, but all of a sudden, there's no learning curve. It's like we've all known for many years that people were just breaking the law. They were smoking marijuana. They didn't feel that it was a law that had merit. Not everybody. Once again, I'm washing with a broad brush here, but clearly, as soon as that opened, now all of a sudden you're hearing about there's all these hemp related products, which is marijuana related. There's this CBD, which
the
is
oil
being
thing,
the
sure.
oil for medicinal purposes and other things. You're going to see the letters CBD. If you have not seen that, you will see that, and it's already on television. But your local shelves at stores are going to be filled with CBD-infused products. It's unbelievable. And now the terms. I mean, everybody now knows what a bong is.
Right.
I mean,
it's no longer just a Cheech and Chong thing.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, Cheech and Chong were now, they're the patron saint, them and Willie Nelson.
Right, they're the trailblazers.
Yeah, they're the patron saints, but it's just been amazing how clearly, you know, this drug culture has been around. It hasn't really, publicized, but yet it's a whole culture unto itself. And as soon as you said, I mean, now there's 10 states that have legalized it. I've just been amazed how quickly, I mean, look how fast gay marriage went from being taboo to being legal.
Right. In fact, that's the way I was kind of equating this deal. It's like there was the talk and the talk and the talk. Finally, it gets approved and boom, it's there. And that marijuana, I think it's the same situation, including here in Illinois with Governor J.B. Pritzker.
Right. And in fact, just this week, there was an editorial in the Tribune that was saying, hey, look, I know we're on a fast track. The governor is looking for ways to, fill the Illinois, the depleted Illinois coffers of revenue. There are so few revenue streams, and here's one that has been untapped for decades. It's always been said that, you're missing out on a lot of revenue by not regulating and taxing marijuana because people are using it in such great numbers. And I'll tell you, the one thing that if it is legalized for recreational use here in Illinois, the one thing that I think is a positive, and I'm no drug head by any means, but at least for those who are taking it, and I don't smoke marijuana, I'll be honest with you. I have tried it. I experimented like most people, and unlike Bill Clinton, I did inhale. it just wasn't my cup of tea. But at the same time, at least for those, and I remember being, and this was, you're a young kid and you experiment. And part of the thing that did turn me off of it, aside from I really never got a true buzz, maybe I wasn't getting good stuff, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But that whole kind of criminal element kind of, pushed me away. There was always, they weren't unseemly or necessarily, scary people, but it was illegal and you were dealing with an illegal substance and you were dealing with a few possible ne'er-do-wells. And,
right.
And you didn't know what you were getting. And at least this way, it is regulated. Those who are buying it can be assured to as much as they can that it's safe and it's not going to be laced or cut with something else. So, I mean, people were using it. At least aside from the revenue generating, which is great, we certainly need that. But I just think from the usage, at least people can have a little more confidence that, the marijuana they're going to be using is safe.
Well, it's funny. funny you mention that, especially about the criminal element issue, because that's one of the arguments is, hey, let's take this out of the hands of people who, you know, do deal in like large quantities of marijuana illegally, you know, whether it comes up from Colombia or Mexico or whatever. But the other thing, when you were talking about when you were younger, this, you know, sneaking marijuana was different than sneaking a beer or two from your parents' fridge.
Right.
Beer is not illegal, even if you're underage, then it is illegal, but it's a different deal. So I understand where your, you know, your hesitance was there.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I was always just a little hesitant about it. As I said, I never really got the true buzz, and I know a lot of times it takes a lot. For some people, it happens quicker, for others. And like I said, so I was never, you know, really into it. But as I said, if people were, that was fine with me. And as I said, we're seeing now. Though I have to say, my wife and I went to Amsterdam a couple years ago, where it's been legal for years.
Right.
And if you go to a cafe or a coffee shop in Amsterdam, you will not get a Starbucks. You will not get an espresso. All they sell in coffee shops and cafes is marijuana.
So they're just, everyone's just puffing away there.
Yeah, I mean, that is a cafe. When you walk into a cafe, that's what they sell. They don't sell coffee. A cafe is where you buy marijuana, and they give you a menu. And they tell you, what are you looking for? You're looking to be, you know, feeling this way or that way. I mean, there's all these different strains. They show them to you. It's a whole culture. And here's the one thing that we have to get ready for, which people are not thinking about. We're thinking about revenue, and we're thinking about legalities, and we're thinking about the quality and the regulation. I got to tell you, after spending 3 days in Amsterdam, The whole city smells like marijuana.
Right.
You have to get ready, especially if you go into a large area where there is a big congregation of people, like a town square, like here on Michigan Avenue. You'll be walking down the street. You will smell it in the air, and you will smell it on people. Just remember when you used to go to bars and your coat used to smell like cigarette smoke?
Right.
Well, that's what the world is going to smell like.
Everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, and I was walking down the street, and I'm going, oh my gosh, and after 2 or 3 days, you almost become immune to it, but it is present, and people bump into you, and you go, oh, that guy smokes.
Yeah.
So that's another byproduct that I don't think people are thinking about. Our whole world is going to smell different. Now, those who listen to me on a regular basis, I mean, you know that I love a good cashmere woods.
Sure.
By Glade.
Like that smell,
that's my favorite scent.
That's my favorite stripper, too.
Yeah, and so I might have to buy even more cans of this.
just to drown out the weed smoke.
Yeah, because you are going to notice that. Trust me, because it was unmistakable.
Well, it's funny you mention all that, because I think I sent you the story earlier this week. The Who, they were playing one of their first concerts on their new tour in the States, and Roger Daltrey, who has very sensitive issues with smoke, started bawling out somebody sitting in near the front of the stage during the Who's concert because they were smoking marijuana, and it affected Roger's throat and messed up his singing.
Wow, times are a-changing, huh?
Yeah, no more Teenage Wasteland, that's for sure.
No kidding. This is Jim Toronto filling in for Dean Richards here at WGN on Sunday morning, talking to Mick Kaler. This is not the pop culture club today, it's the pot culture club.
Gotcha.
Yeah. After the break, we'll continue to talk about this and a few other different pop culture topics, so stay tuned. But right now, do I have to, my friend Ariel, my producer here, are you there, my friend? You can jump on there real quick if you want. Can you go say?
I'm here.
Yeah. There was this traffic thing sponsored. Do I have to read that?
Yes.
I should read that. Should I have read that when he was saying it?
Yeah, maybe.
Oops. Well, let me just say it now then.
Okay.
Live power wires are dangerous. Stay safe by keeping yourself and the tools you are using at least 10 feet from all power lines. ComEd cares about your safety. Before you get close to any live power lines, call 1-800-EDISON-1. ComEd. Powering lives. I'm powering the 50,000-watt radio station here at WGN for the next about hour or so. I'll be back right after this. Jim Toronto for Dean Richards. No switching.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Ah, that's going to be the new theme song for the United States.
Could be.
Yes, we are talking here on the Pot Culture Club this week with Mikayla about the growing popularity and legalization of marijuana and what it may mean to our pop culture.
Well, you know, the one thing you were talking before about being in Amsterdam and the smell that you had to acclimate to, and my concern is, and it's a personal concern too, because twice in my life, I have been driving in my car and been hit by drunk drivers.
I mean, you know, don't forget the big argument for the legalization of marijuana, that it was no worse than alcohol. And if alcohol was legal, then why wasn't marijuana?
Right. And so my issue is, okay, what if I'm driving and some guy's just finished blazing up, or he's blazing up in his car or whatever, and hits me? What is done to determine the the blood alcohol content for people who drink? And I know in Colorado they're working on this, but they have not been able to set up, I guess you call it, a field sobriety test to say, yeah, it was the marijuana that messed that guy up and made him hit you.
No, that's good.
And that's seriously, that's a big concern, because believe me, getting hit by a drunk driver sucks. And I don't want to have to throw in, you know, having to worry about, you know, Cheech and Chong or whomever in their van, you know, wailing into my little car.
Well, that's the thing. And like I said, there was a an editorial in the Tribune this week about, yes, we know that there is this rolling thunder states are seeing the possible, monetary, advantages of legalizing marijuana. But the Tribune in their editorial actually says, Governor Pritzker, let's put the brakes on this. There are a lot of issues in terms of health, in terms of safety, like you're saying, in terms of regulation, in terms of where the money will go. There, you know, we should just put the brakes on this. You know what? In other words, hey, take a drag and chill. You know, because
you're using all the vernacular. You might not have smoked pot much, but you sure got the vernacular down.
Well, you
got
to sound like, I said, people think I'm a Game of Thrones fan too, but I did, admit that I also fall asleep during a lot of the episodes.
Well, you're getting older too, yeah. So.
But no, I mean, so that's interesting. As much as the state certainly needs the funds, and we've seen, I mean, Colorado has become flush now with different avenues now of revenue, and that's great. And Illinois certainly needs its share of new revenues.
Sure.
But once you put these things on the book, they are hard to change. And so, you know, yes, there is a growing popularity. There's a growing demand. But at the same time, there is also some need for some just common sense, and we don't need to rush, because once it's legal, it's legal.
Right. Well, the other thing you're mentioning, growing, I heard them already talking about the parameters of the marijuana laws that could happen in Illinois, and they're putting things out there saying, okay, how many plants of this can you grow at home? Okay,
right.
You're talking about how stores would sell it and all that, but is marijuana growth at home going to be something that's going to be like moonshining, or is it going to be legal?
Right.
There's a lot of things, like you said, that they have to iron out that they haven't even approached yet.
Well, here's the thing. So one of my favorite TV shows is the Dragnet version from the 1960s with Jack Webb and Harry Morgan. It's the color version. And and this was airing right smack dab. It was a very pro-police, you know, pro law and order kind of show, almost a propaganda show. And Jack Webb would consistently on a weekly basis give every criminal some kind of a lecture, whether they were a mugger, whether they were a bank robber or a murderer, whatever it was. But certainly toward the end of the show in the late 60s, when drug use was becoming more prevalent, the show was centering on this push and pull between the legality of drugs like marijuana, and at that time even LSD, and the use of it as the drug culture was beginning to uprise in 67 and 68 and 69. Well, I was scanning YouTube, and I knew this episode existed, and so I was so grateful that someone posted this. Listen to this. This was from 19, it's got to be from 68, 69, and so that's 40 years at least.
Right.
No, 50 years. What am I saying? 50 years ago, This was the conversation on Dragnet between Joe Friday and as well as Harry Morgan, Bill, his Bill Gannon,
and Bill Gannon, sure,
and a pot user. Listen to this and talk about relevancy.
You've been smoking marijuana.
Marijuana is illegal. I know that.
That's right.
For now. In a couple of years, things may change when all the kids grow up and start wearing ties and going to the polls. Marijuana is going to be like liquor, packaged and taxed and sold right off the shelf.
I doubt it, Mr. Shipley.
Look, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but it seems to me there must be better things for cops to do than chase down wild rumors about something as innocent as marijuana. Why don't you go after the big bad guys, the heroin peddlers? I won't argue with you about them. They should be stopped.
That's right. We'd like to put them out of business. That's why we're here.
What do you mean?
We're trying to keep them from getting a new customer.
There's a big difference between marijuana and hard narcotics.
Yeah, but it's only a small step.
And everybody who takes a drink is going to be an alcoholic. We know that's not true, don't we? Let's face it, we're on opposite sides of the fence, and there's nothing we can do about it. For you, if there's a law against it, it's wrong, black and white. I just don't see things that way, that's all.
Well, you ought to give it a try, fella. It might keep you out of jail.
Maybe. But we'll change the law someday, even though your friend here thinks we won't. Believe me, it's a new world. Your laws are as outdated as bustles. Laws are going to have to be changed to keep pace with the new morality. They'll change or we'll have to break them.
What about your daughter? How's she going to feel if you end up in jail?
She won't like it any more than I will, but you'll have to catch me before you can arrest me, won't you?
How about that? How about that?
Yeah, way back then.
I mean, that's the argument today, and that was
right.
The argument 50 years ago. And I had to laugh when I was listening recently to an interview with Seth Rogen, who is a self-described pothead.
Oh, yeah, he's a major advocate.
Yeah, his films as well as in his personal life, and he makes no bones about this. So, now that that marijuana is becoming legal, and it is legal now in California, of course, Seth Rogen, he's an entrepreneur. He's starting his own cannabis business. And he was explaining in this interview, you could tell that he's definitely in a pot culture,
mm-hmm.
as I just said before. And you could say that he sits around with his friends while they're getting high and they formulate these philosophies. But here was the philosophy. I had to love this. He was with Charlize Theron because they're in a movie together now, The Long Shot.
Yeah.
And so she's listening to him, and he says in his explanation about marijuana, he said, well, we've come to a point now in our culture where, there's just some things that we need. He said, we need a coat because it's cold out. We need shoes because we can't walk on the sidewalk. And we realize that there are just some things in our lives that we need to get through a day. And pot is one of them. We've realized that we just need pot to get through our day. And I'm sitting there going, I said to myself, boy, that's a skewed philosophy. And Charlize Theron didn't miss a beat. And she goes, isn't that what crack addicts would say?
Right, you can take it to a different level,
yeah.
Sure.
But this is my point. In terms of the culture and the acceptance, there is a whole new philosophy. And yes, it's taken much longer than many people thought, like that says on that Dragnet clip. People thought as soon as, the baby boomer generation got old enough to vote and got a little power that they would change that law. It's taken a long time. It's taken 50 years. But here we are. Here's another one. This is another great one from Dragnet, once again, 1960. This is where Gannon and Friday are giving a pot demonstration.
Okay.
This is a demonstration, gentlemen. I want everyone here to know exactly how marijuana smells.
Yes, sir. Bill, do you want to take over?
Marijuana, scientific name Cannabis sativa. It's a member of the hemp family. Grows as a shrub-like plant that may attain a height of 20 feet. This, incidentally, is not the real thing. This is a demonstration kit prepared and distributed by a nationally known drug firm. Maybe you'd like to pass this around. Now, as you can see there, the marijuana leaf always contains an odd number of divisions, or leaflets, from 5 to 13. The real leaf is sticky to the touch. The sticky substance is cannabinol, which is the actual narcotic resin in the plant. The other item in the demonstration kit is an ersatz marijuana pellet. Now, we'll place it here in the ashtray. Set the pellet on fire. Burning pot has a distinctive odor. Some people have described it as sweet or sickly. Would you all like to step forward? Now, some say the odor is similar to burning rope, alfalfa, or weeds.
Smells terrible.
Yes, ma'am.
This is what marijuana smells like.
I can guarantee it.
Just get everybody up to speed on it. Sure.
Oh, yeah. But like I said, that is going to be a byproduct, folks. You could talk all about the revenue generation and the medicinal possible purposes for hemp and CBD and all these things you're going to see. And as I said, pretty soon the word marijuana is going to be as ubiquitous as anything in our culture. But I guarantee you, you are going to all of a sudden start to smell it.
Yeah.
Everywhere. And it's, I'm sure you won't be able to still smoke it in a restaurant like you can't smoke cigarettes, but believe me, you will smell it on the streets and you will smell it on people. And here's my question. You know how people take a cigarette break during work?
Right. Sure.
Will they take a weed break?
Time out in the middle of the day. Well, keep in mind, like when I was talking earlier about people driving and smoking, I think in Colorado you have to be like in your house or apartment. You can't just be walking down the street puffing, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I'm sure that's, but as time goes on, you know, all those laws are going to go away too.
Right, but I'm just saying. But yeah, you have a fair point, because if you go downtown Chicago, any time of the day, you see people outside of building entrances having their cigarette breaks because you can't smoke in the building anymore. And is somebody going to be, you know, blazing up some cannabis sativa there?
And you're going to just see all of a sudden what's going to make a comeback: the roach clip.
Oh, sure, designer roach clips. Yeah,
and the rolling papers, the job rolling papers.
Well, not only that, just to think of the money that the pizza and the snack food companies, like the Doritos and Fritos companies, are going to be making.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to play Jim Cramer right now. Hey, listen, folks, if you want to make some money, Frito-Lay. Frito-Lay.
Now.
In the next 20 years, Frito-Lay is going to go up 45%. So get in on it, because people are going to have the munchies.
Well, you've probably seen stories of Girl Scout cookies. They've been selling them outside of, like, a couple doors away from some of these legal marijuana sales stores in certain states. And, of course, the kids are making tons of money,
right?
Because all the potheads are going in and getting their dope. And then they're like, oh, I think I'm going to need some cookies later. I better buy some.
Yeah, wait till you stop at the little stop sign or the little signal on the highway, and they start selling you, instead of selling you Milky Ways and Snicker bars for baseball, for their little league, they're going to be selling you something else. Stay tuned, Mick. I want to keep talking to you.